Hello, this is Martin Mortel, Director of Research for UK and Europe with Glass Lewis. Today I'll be looking at the key issues facing FTSE 350 issuers and their investors this coming proxy season. To do so, I'm joined by Natasha O'Connor, our Research Manager for Northern Europe, Bernadette O'Donoghue, Senior Analyst on our UK and Ireland Research Team, and Cian Whelan, also an Analyst on our UK and Ireland Research Team. Natasha, could you kick us off with an overview of recent regulatory developments?
Building from Theresa May's pre-election platform and the public consultation on the Green Paper published by the Department of Business, the UK government announced in August 2017 a suite of reforms intended to enhance the public's trust in business. UK Business Secretary Greg Clark set out the government's plans for corporate governance reform in an attempt to put downward pressure on boardroom pay and enhance the transparency of big business to shareholders, employees and the public. The main points refer to requiring annual publication and justification of the pay ratios between CEOs and the average UK worker, which Bernadette will talk about, and the integration of an explanation of how directors take employees and shareholder interests into account. Other non-legally binding measures will see all listed companies who receive more than 20% shareholder opposition to proposals having their names published on a new public register, which will be created and maintained by the Investment Association. The Investment Association will also record issuer response to such dissent and any other relevant information surrounding the proposals themselves and or the circumstances leading to the dissent.
After persistent concerns over high levels of executive remuneration at UK companies, the proposed legislation will require quoted companies to report annually in their remuneration report the ratio of CEO pay to the average pay of their UK workforce, along with a narrative explaining changes to that ratio from year to year and how the ratio relates to pay conditions across the wider workforce. While certain issuers, for example, BAE Systems, preemptively published their CEO pay ratio in their 2017 annual report, it will be 2019 before we expect to see widespread reporting of CEO pay ratios. From our engagement efforts, the feedback from issuers has been largely positive, though some have expressed concerns that CEO pay ratios will be cannon fodder for newspaper headlines.
Speaking of CEO pay, what are likely to be the burning issues on the executive compensation front?
As with previous years, focus in 2018 is likely to remain on quantum concerns, with a view to how this relates to the average UK worker and peers. Outsized awards and payouts are likely to be targeted by investors who view disparity in these areas unfavourably. As in 2017, we saw most issuers, with the exception of identifiable outliers, express salary increases as relative to average increases across the group. We expect this trend to continue in 2018. We also expect that large unexplained deviations from average will be heavily scrutinised. In terms of absolute quantum, investors are likely to make their feelings on excess known. We have already seen the influence of public perception at Persimmon PLC. In December 2017, Nicholas Wrigley, the chair, and Jonathan Davey, senior independent director and chair of the Remuneration Committee, resigned from the board following revelations that the company's executive leadership stood to make approximately £232 million from a controversial long-term incentive plan dating back to 2012. Subsequently, in February 2018, following previous public declarations that he would donate a portion of his £110 million payout, Persimmon announced that Jeff Fairbairn's LTIP award would be reduced to £75 million. The reduction came after shareholders began publicly voicing concern and indicating a possible vote against the re-election of certain directors.
Natasha, have there been any developments in the area of board diversity?
Autumn 2017 also saw the publication of the Parker Review Committee's A Report into the Ethnic Diversity of UK Boards. The report contains the committee's final musings on ethnic diversity on UK boards, specifically those listed on FTSE 100 and 250. Though the review acknowledges the overwhelmingly positive feedback from stakeholders during the open consultation period, its initial recommendations remained unchanged. The review recommends that FTSE 100 boards should have at least one director of colour by 2021 and by 2024 for FTSE 250 companies. It also recommends that board chairs and existing directors should identify, mentor and or sponsor people of colour within their own organisation to ensure their readiness to assume senior roles. Further, it states that companies should disclose their efforts to enhance ethnic diversity in their annual report. The recommendations are initially being posited on a comply or explain basis, in line with UK code norms. However, the review is suggestive of a potentially stricter stance if there is insufficient progress towards the goals. Early disclosures, such as GlaxoSmithKline, have already adjusted their diversity policy to reflect Parker recommendations, and we expect that this will be a growing trend in proxy season 2018. Further, in part incorporating some of the UK government's suggested reforms, in part mirroring updates to diversity publications such as Hampton Alexander and Parker, the Financial Reporting Council has published an amended UK Corporate Governance Code, which is currently out for consultation. The proposed new code, which FRC Chair Wynne Bischoff describes as shorter, sharper and fit for purpose, continues to operate on a comply or explain basis and is divided into five sections. Namely, leadership and purpose, division of responsibility, composition, succession and evaluation, audit risk and internal control, and remuneration. In line with earlier calls for employee representation made by Prime Minister Theresa May in 2016, the revised code suggests the company should either assign a non-executive director to represent employees, create an advisory council for employees, or nominate a director from the workforce. Further, in an effort to encourage transparency and responsiveness to AGM voting, companies will need to explain what action has been taken to consult with shareholders when more than 20% of votes have been cast against board recommendations. This is in line with the IA register. Interestingly, the FRC has gone one step further and suggests that issuers should offer periodic updates on shareholder consultation around the issues that drew the dissent in the first place. The revised code also provides food for thought for companies listed outside of the FTSE 350, as exemptions previously included in the code in relation to independence, board evaluation, annual re-elections, and the composition of audit and remuneration committees have been removed. This is because the FRC believes that the code sets good practice standards and that even smaller companies should strive for the highest standards of corporate governance.
The authors of the revised UK code have also taken into account the views of the Hampton Alexander Review and Parker Review on diversity, challenging directors to not only consider the composition of the board, but also of management. More specifically, a provision has been added which requires the nomination committee to explain what actions they have taken to increase diversity in its executive pipeline and requires that companies report specifically on the gender balance in the first layer of management below board level. All companies, not only those in the FTSE 350, will be encouraged to increase transparency in this area. Board composition is a key focal point for shareholders when assessing the corporate governance of investee companies. While discussion of board composition often focuses on gender diversity, the increasingly circumspect investing environment means the investor gaze is widening in order to better assess board diversity in the broadest and deepest sense. This mature understanding of diversity goes beyond token candidates amenable to box ticking by holistically considering the board from a variety of perspectives. It is only by scrutinizing the unique and particular mix of skills, experience, gender, and independence within an individual board that an outsider can satisfy themselves that a board is well positioned to perform its oversight duty. Further, in addition to the increasing legal requirements for directors in most markets, investor expectations have never been higher. The role of the board has evolved from primarily one of watchdog to strategic leadership. Non-executive directors are expected to have informed opinions on all topics relevant to the company and effectively advise management on important strategic decisions. Some market leaders are already adapting to investor expectations in this regard in their 2017 annual reports. Lloyds Banking Group and Unilever both use skills matrices to better communicate their board composition to investors. However, their approach is somewhat different. Lloyds provides a table with graphics displaying the gender, tenure, and age diversity of the board. They also include the skills required by the board and how many non-executives have each skill. Unilever doesn't use graphics, but they do break down the skills information by individual directors and also include the nationality of each director and their committee membership, drawing a clear line between each non-executive's responsibilities and the skills and experience they possess that qualify them for those responsibilities.
It certainly seems like nominations committees will be coming under enhanced scrutiny going forward. Natasha, Bernadette, Kian, thanks for joining me.
This recording should not be considered a solicitation of proxies by Glass Lewis. Glass Lewis has not sought permission to do so from the SEC, nor will it. This recording is for information purposes only and should not be construed as providing investment advice. In addition, Glass Lewis makes no representation regarding the accuracy, completeness, or reliability of any statement of any of our speakers in this recording. If you have any questions, please contact us via our website, www.glasslewis.com.